All right, what a blessing to be able to share this time together with all of you. Like I say, my online friends, some of you near, some of you far, wherever you are, some of you joining us for the very first time, and if you are, I'm Pastor Terry Lee, pastor here at Cornerstone Church in San Francisco, and I'm so happy you're with us. You know, we're starting a new series. It's called Explore God. We're joining with a lot of other churches in the Bay Area, specifically sitting with similar questions and themes. I'm actually spending 2 weeks, though, leading, you know, giving a couple of messages that set up where we're going. So even though Explore God officially starts 2 weeks from now, these two messages are part of our larger series that are designed to lead us into it. And I'm really excited about what we're about to share. I'm calling this message The Joy of Discovery and Buying the Field. And we'll see what that means in a moment. But I'm really looking forward to it. And I want to pray right now the Lord's blessing on what we're about to share. So even now, Lord Jesus, I just ask for you to come and be among us. Speak to our hearts. Meet us where we need it most. We love you. We welcome you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to go back to something that Jesus taught, a little story. Remember, that's what a parable was, a story that opened up a spiritual truth. And it had a way of getting people unstuck when Jesus told these stories, and it still works for us today. Jesus says in Matthew 13:44 that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has, and here it is, and he buys the field. Now, I've heard this parable, let me just say this real quickly as an aside, I've heard this parable described as a picture of Christ's search for us and the price that he paid. And although, you know, I have no issue with this, like we become the treasure that he found, I actually prefer the more traditional angle that sees this parable, this teaching that Jesus gives us as a picture of the opportunity that we have to joyfully embrace the kingdom of God in the face of Jesus. So it's something that we are invited to do, to discover. And there are others who I've heard actually have an issue with some of the ethics of the parable. I don't happen to be one of those, but you know, I could talk about that a little bit later. But I want to give it a little bit of a background to sort of set the context for what Jesus shares, because for the people of his day, it would have made total sense. For us, not as much, but once we understand it, we'll appreciate it much better. In that day, the land of Israel, which in the time of the Romans gave it the name Palestine, but that was a region that was constantly being invaded. There were constantly marauders and armies. It was a place where many battlefield, you know, battles were fought by, you know, powers of the East. And as a result, it was really hard to keep your possessions, your treasure, your money secure. And because of the challenges of the vulnerability, people would often, remember, there weren't any banks, so they would often use the ground as the safest bank. They would bury it in times of threatening. But sometimes due to death, or deportation, it was not uncommon for the knowledge of where those things were buried to to perish as well. I mean, so sometimes people bury something and then things happen and no one knew what was buried or where it was buried. So if I can say it this way, finding buried treasure was rare, but not unheard of. And the picture that Jesus gives us invites us to imagine, and I'd like us to do this as well, just sitting with this story. We see this plowman, he's working in the field. It's hot. He's sweating and it's dusty. If we look closely, he appears to be maybe a sharecropper, a renter, or maybe even a hired hand. Speaking of his hands, they're tired. I mean, he's been working all day, and his lips are dry. It's hard work. It's demanding. It's monotonous. And he stops for a water break every now and then gets back to the plow. His job is to clear the field so that it can have crops planted. That means you got to get rid of the rocks. So anyway, as Jesus tells the story, he's plowing in the field, and then something happens. His plow hits an obstruction. Oh, a sigh comes out of him. Another rock. to be dug out and carried to the side of the field. You know, and by the way, that's how the walls got built, right? That's how the walls around the field got built. The rocks in the field that were being taken out so the ground could be used for a crop, those very rocks were often what was used to build the walls that contained it. And so you can hear him say under his breath, "Oh my God, come on." He gets down and he starts to try to dig out this rock with his hands because it's not coming out easy. Man, it's really packed in there. And he hits, you know, like he gets underneath what he assumes was the rock, only to find that it's actually something different. He pushes away some of the dirt and he sees it. It's not a rock. It's the top of a chest. And all of a sudden his adrenaline kicks in, his heart is beating, he can feel it. Like, oh my goodness, you know the sensation. And slowly he opens the chest. Ooh. And he's hit with like another, he's stunned, he can't believe what he's seeing. Jewels, gold coins. All of a sudden his mind is racing as fast as his heart is racing. Boom, right, you could feel it. And then he's hit with another equally powerful sensation, fear. Has anybody seen him? He steals a furtive glance, a secretive look, and then he steadies himself, praying no one has seen him. And he quickly recovers the chest, right? Pulls it out, hoping again no one has seen him, making sure that no one's watching him. And then he calculates his next move. What he decides, according to the story of Jesus, is that he will find a way to buy the field that contained the treasure. And who knows how much more is yet to be discovered. One thing is clear, and I'll talk about this in a moment, but the owner doesn't know what is in the field. And this is an important little distinction of the story. According to the custom and law of the day, whoever owns the field owns what's in it. Whoever owned the field owned what's in it. And so knowing what was hidden there, he would now make the owner an offer. He would sell everything he had. He would cash in everything, even borrow to possess enough money to get that field. He wanted to buy that field joyfully, the sheer delight and anticipation of an opportunity beyond anything that he could have dreamed of. That's what Jesus is getting at here. Now, some have wondered, oh, how could Jesus have been okay with this, right? Seems like a little deceptive, but... And that goes back to some of the ethical criticism. But remember, Jesus is not, the purpose of this story is not to comment on the business ethics or ethics in general. That's not the point. He's not talking about that. His emphasis is on the joy of discovery. I mean, yeah, the guy is a worker. He finds the treasure. He knows he can't carry it away. He'll be accused of thievery. But if he can buy the field, it becomes his. So he doesn't want to say why. He just wants to buy it. And that's the point here. And that's the larger point. We're talking about the joy of discovery, the joy of finding. As Jesus puts it, the joy of finding something of worth and of value, the joy of finding the kingdom. And how can I say this? But some of us, you know, like that plowman, we discovered the Lord. We found Jesus when we weren't really looking for him. We were just making our way through life, maybe like Saul of Tarsus. We were apprehended. That's one way of describing it. There's no other word for it. The king, this is how I like to see it. The king walked by and he touched our eyes. And I was blind, but now I see. And for some of us, that is really our story. We kind of stumbled into the kingdom. We stumbled into Jesus. Some of us, it began with a simple conversation with a coworker or a friend, or an innocent visit to a church because a family member invited us, or we remembered again some of the things of our past when we went to Sunday school, or, you know, whatever. But we re-engaged, and all of a sudden, we discovered the treasure of Jesus. It's like our eyes were opened up. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, right? That's what we're talking about. And in fact, it's when we stumbled on the treasure that we weren't looking for it. And I might say this, it found us as much as we found it, and our life has never been the same. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, I think about all the stories in this room, all the stories that are connecting right now here online. And man, if I could think back to how we came to know Jesus and how each of us, and I know not all of us necessarily have found the Lord yet. We're not necessarily there. We're not necessarily at a place where we would say, I know the Lord, but we're close. Probably wouldn't be hanging out here if we weren't at least intrigued. And I can just want to, you know, encourage everyone, no matter where you are, if you've been following him and you were the one who found him, in a sense, found by him, you know, or you're right there ready to step forward and accept the treasure that God is and all that Jesus has for us. You know, wherever we are, the Lord is reaching out to say, my grace is connecting to you right now and calling you by name. But I think, again, all about the way in which many of us discover the beauty of the Lord. And I think about this teaching. And one of the things I want us to be aware of is that the kingdom of heaven, the way of Jesus, if we can call it that, look at this, is both a gift and a purchase. In that sense, it's a paradox. It's both a gift and a purchase. Salvation, we can never earn. Nope. It's the treasure, a free gift from God, but the field we must choose to buy. And I want us to sit with that story because we discover the treasure, but we have to choose to buy the field. And that's at least part of what Jesus meant when he talked about taking up our cross, when he says to pursue the treasure that cannot be taken away, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves cannot break in and steal. So the decision is ours to make. It really is, right? He will not force us to buy the field, nor can anyone buy it for us. We have to decide. In other words, to make the kingdom purchase will cost us something. It's free, but it's not cheap. Put another way, some things must be relinquished if we want to buy the field. Some things must be sold off, let go of, cashed in, if we're going to make the purchase. They may be things that we value. You know, I go back to that story. I mean, to buy that field, he was going to have to let go of some things. He was going to do whatever he had to do to get it because it's where the treasure was. So I meant maybe letting go of some things. Maybe there were other kinds of things in his life that he really loved and enjoyed, but to be able to get that field, he had to let it go. And if it was necessary for him to sell it off to obtain what he really wanted, so be it. And that's how it is with you and me when it comes to the kingdom of God. We've got to be willing to let it go if we want what he has for us. There's some things that God is asking us, requiring us to release so that he can fill us and give us that treasure, right? And that's a principle also for the growing life in God. I guess what I'm saying is, and here's the phrase, I love it, we must buy the field. We must buy the field, as Jesus said, which is another way of saying, I'm all in. I'm all in. We must buy the field. Buy the field. I'm all in. That's the only way the way of Jesus really works. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Oh, by the way, when Jesus said that, Matthew 6:33, he did not say, seek the things of God periodically, or when I feel like it, not seek as part of my life package, not seek second the kingdom of God, not seek third the kingdom of God, not seek fourth the kingdom of God, fifth the kingdom. You get what I'm saying? No. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God. Because when we pursue him and place him first, every aspect of our life works better. It really does. And, you know, it doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that following Jesus is risk-free, but it's the best way. What I'm saying is it's worth it. That's what Jesus taught us. And again, when we pursue him first, every aspect of our life works better than it would have without him. Not to mention, we get heaven thrown in. So again, let's make this really clear. We have to decide if we're going to buy the field. Like, that's up to us. And that's just always going to be the case. We got to choose. Am I in? And when I'm in, I got to go all in. That's what Jesus was getting at here. Like, you got to go all in. You got to buy the field. Can't dabble with it. It won't work. You either want it or you don't. That's what he's saying. And when I say that, that doesn't mean that everything's going to work out the way we want it to work out. It's true. This is not sign on with Jesus and everything works perfectly. You know, we still got struggles. We still have things that are going to happen. There are some things that happen in a broken world. We can't control those things. I mean, all that stuff, that's there. But I will maintain things work better always in every way when the Lord is with us. And that's part of the promise. Seek first the kingdom of God, the loving realm of Jesus, and all these things will be added. They will fall into their proper place. Life will make sense and life will have purpose. And I thought, wow, Lord, I need to let you be at the center of my life. But I guess when I go back to this idea of buying the field, I just ask another question. I mean, have we ever struggled with letting go of something that we feel is holding us back, right? I have. I mean, some things are obvious, others less so. I know it's a little more nuanced, but there will be times when we have to struggle, right? It's a struggle to let go. And yet I want to say it's worth it. It's worth it. Struggling for him is worth it. And that's where grace comes in. So I'm not just talking about the one-time acquisition of following Jesus. I'm also talking about the life in Christ that we are being offered. And sometimes it's not easy. Like, it's going to cost us something. And what part of what that costs us is struggling to do things God's way. But again, that's where grace comes in. Knowing Jesus, there is no greater thing, right? You are worth everything, Lord. You're the pearl of greatest price for, if I can say it this way, what we have dreamed of calls for our devotion. What we have dreamed of calls for our devotion. He's the best. And if we want what he has for us, we got to go in. We got to go all in. And then once, if I can say it this way, once you have him, never let him go. Once he has us, never run away. Let him always be our greatest treasure. For it's the only one in the end we can carry with us, right? Listen, nothing else, no person, no gift, no possession can be carried over to the other side. Only him, only him. Nothing else. You know, life is short. The years fly by. They do. They fly away. Can't get them back. I know when you're younger, you might feel, those of you younger, you might feel like, oh, I've got the rest of my life ahead of me. No, nothing's guaranteed, but it does feel different when you're a little younger. But as you get older, you start to look back and you see that the years fly away. But that's true even of our youth sometimes. It flies away. I'm at a different stage of life right now. And as the years fly by, it's so important to remember that there is nothing greater than the way of Jesus and the treasure we have in him. Like, that's it. That's it. I think I understand why the martyred missionary Jim Elliot wrote years before he died, actually, something that has echoed now for more than a few generations. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. For those of you out there, She is no fool who gives what she cannot keep to gain what she cannot lose. Look, think about that for a moment. What really matters? Practically speaking, we're going to invest our life somewhere. And I'm making the case. Let's invest in the best. Let's invest in the best. And it's not just about denying, it's not just about sacrifice. And I think that's really important, okay, because you hear me out now. In one sense, yes, to buy the field is gonna cost me something, right? To follow Jesus is gonna cost me something. To get the best is gonna require me to disinvest myself of things that are holding me back. Right, I gotta remember he had to sell all that he had to get it. So Jesus isn't pulling any punches here. So there is a sacrificial component to following Jesus. And I would be like selling a false bill of goods if I said it any other way, because that's what he taught us. It's gonna cost you something. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Right, there is this idea of I've got to give up something. But there's also, remember, what was also Jesus saying? He was saying, but don't forget the joy of obtaining this, right? The blessing of being a disciple, what it means to be in relationship with me. It's true, you give up something, but he says, but what you get is so much better. In John 15, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you. I've spoken these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That he wants it overflowing in our lives. So the Lord wants his joy to overflow our lives. It's sacrifice. It costs me to buy that field, to follow Jesus, to give him my best. Right? I got it. It doesn't come easy all the time. But it's the treasure. It's so awesome. It's the field we gotta have, right? And I love the fact that Jesus connected that to joy, because he wants us to have joy in our heart. He wants us to have enthusiasm. He wants us to have the euphoria of discovery, of spiritual adrenaline. Now, it may not match the first time we ever opened up our hearts to Jesus. I get that. But the field is a lifetime. It's a lifetime of discovery. Do you see it? Do we see it? There's so much treasure out there. There's a different places is hidden. So you buy the field, you can explore it all. So much more. Different stages of life, different places in our lives. We'll find the treasure showing up sometimes in the everyday, in the everydayness, and every now and then, an amazing moment with God. And the last thought I have for all of us, because we're talking about exploring God and inviting others, is share the treasure. Yeah, you heard me right, share the treasure. When we sign on with Jesus, we sign on to be on the rescue team. Those of us who have been rescued, we're on the rescue team. That's just the way it is. We were called, after we buy the field where the treasure is, we're called to share the treasure, to be a blesser in his name, to be part of the kingdom work. That's what you've been called to be, and that's what I've been called to be. You know, I think about sharing the wealth, sharing the blessing, sharing the treasure. It's the joy of discovery, and it overflows out of our life and becomes contagious. And that's how the Lord wants it to work. And that's gonna be a product of us making decisions. I was thinking about this. How do I share the treasure? One of the ways I do it is by inviting people. We invite people. Some of us who watch online, you know, we need to invite others to watch with us, or we need to share something when it stirs our heart. There's a lot of things we do. Even here in our church at Cornerstone, we create things that are designed to be shared. You know, a lot of you are aware of my morning devotional that I am part of doing, the Rise and Shine. You know, I love that. That 60-second spiritual vitamin that's designed to be shared. It's a tool. Others of us might want to share a message every now and then and just send it out and say, hey, you know, I've thought of you. There are other ways, right? Literally, one of the best ways as ever is to invite someone to come to the Lord's house, invite someone because you care for them and you want them to share this with you, right? I oftentimes will send a text. If the Lord puts someone in my heart and I'm thinking of them as I'm listening to a teaching or just throughout the day or coming out of a service, I say, oh, the Lord put you in my heart. I wanted to just send you a little bit of a word. I wanted to encourage you. Like I try to follow up the good intention. You know, don't let your good intentions die on the ground without acting on them. Come on. Follow through on the good intention. The thought is good. Now follow through. A lot of times I just send a prayer. I'll send a short little prayer. I'll text a prayer or bathe the text in prayer, if I can put it that way. I like to say a little bit more than I'm praying for you. Now, praying for you is good. Sending a prayer emoji, that's a good thing. I'm not diminishing it. It means something. It means something to people at critical times. But there is something about sending a little prayer or a verse or speaking life over a situation. But again, this is going to be about us encouraging others to explore God with us. We found the treasure. We bought the field. We want to invite others into it, right? So they too can buy the field and experience the joy of the Lord. So let's keep that in mind. We got a song to share right now that will put an accent on some of the things that we've been talking about. And then I'll come back around and we will, close it out. All right, so here we go.
Oh,
All right, what a blessing to be able to be invited into the good things of God, to be able to share in the joy of the Lord, to be able to have that treasure that will last forever. You know, my prayer for you, my friend, my brother, my sister, is that God would be at the center of your life, that He would meet you in the place where you need it most, that you would love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. He is beautiful, and He does beautiful things when we let Him. I know it's a struggle sometimes. It's a struggle sometimes to live in the promise of the Lord. It's a struggle sometimes to appreciate our inheritance that we've been given and given access to. But God invites us into that, doesn't He? We're so loved, and He loves you, and He loves me too. So I pray that you would go in the blessing of the Lord by the field. You're so rich and blessed. It's yours forevermore. In Jesus' name.